This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Good to be back?
Yes.
You ready to be back?
Yes, I am ready.
All right, 3, 2, 1, and welcome everybody back to a different conversation. As you can see, the king himself, King Kem, is back in the flesh.
What's good?
And what that means is that this is going to be episode 11 of a built different show, and I probably did the finger movements the wrong way. It is what it is. But Kem was gracious enough to donate his studio for this episode. How the hell you been, man?
Man, I've been good, man. It's
yes,
been a
sir.
Long time coming, man. But you know,
it has.
Life is life. You know what I mean?
And that's the thing. Life's always going to life.
Yes,
but we always get through. We always come back.
Yes.
And we're going to be back for a while.
Yes.
Kem and I have agreed to do some more episodes together. So we're going to do more sports episodes, more, you know, non-sports episodes. We're actually filming 2 episodes today.
But Red Bull.
So. Yeah, hell yeah. I mean, listen, and that new Red Bull is so good. I know I already did a little review on it. But have you tried that new Red Bull?
No,
the baby blue one?
No,
the ice berry?
No.
Yeah, oh my God.
Yes, okay.
Because it's not at that gas station that's closest to your house,
okay.
Which I was mad about. I had to get these regular ones, but...
Okay, ice blue, I'm on that.
Yeah, ice vanilla berry.
Okay, ice vanilla berry.
Oh, man. Anyway, let's dig right in. I think the first headline that we should talk about is I want to hear your opinion on the Philadelphia 76ers. They're the worst team in the East right now.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, they're still, you know, they still only got 4 wins, 4-14, as this is recording.
Mm-hmm.
What's your full opinion on the 76ers, dog?
Listen, man. So first, I want to cut it close, but I'm going to let it go. Excuse me. I past the first 30 seconds. But they are stinking, man. I don't know what the F is going on. It's kind of crazy here because...
Bro, I'll say it for you. They fucking suck.
Yeah, it's crazy, bro. Like, this is crazy. So listen,
yeah.
I've been thinking about how Joel Embiid's career started as the process. Do you understand what I'm saying? And now where we are in his career again, it looks like Philadelphia is just the process.
Yeah.
That should be what the fucking team is called. It is amazing, man. It's always something going on in there with these hurt players, and these other parts around them are getting wasted years. You know what I'm saying? Because Tyrese Maxey, man, he had that run with James Harden that could have been something with him and Joel, and now they pick up Paul George. This dude's still running full speed ahead every fucking game, and it's amazing. You know what I mean? So now when thinking about Joel with this pitch count or whatever, again, man, it's crazy, man. I can't.
You said pitch count?
Yeah, that's what you want to call it. It's a pitch count. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he plays whenever the hell he wants. You understand what I'm saying? Like, to preserve him for a potential playoff run.
Yeah.
But how they play in the regular season does not deem them to be able to pick like that. But I'd like to hear what you got to say, man, because I, you know.
Man, it's just another year where they have too much going on, man.
Too much.
I mean, I'm going to talk about it, you know, later on. There, you could put whatever talent you want on a team, but if there's too much going on, especially if you don't really have nothing to fight for. And yeah, I get it. You know, they're sitting out there. They're fighting for a championship. That's why this team was assembled. But you wouldn't see that through their style of play. Even when they're healthy, even when they're on the court, they're not playing like they're a championship team.
No.
Because championship teams, you'll see you play good even if their best players are out.
Yes.
You know, if a team has a mission, if a team has a plan in play. And I think that's what's been the most disappointing thing to me about them is that they have all this talent still, even with Embiid off the court, even when Paul George is off the court. Yeah. Like, you can get 40 from Maxey any night.
Yes.
And then you still got Oubre, and you still got, what's their rookie's name? You know who I'm talking about. That zesty dude.
Yes.
McCain there, Jared McCain. But, you know, I think a lot of, some of this is going to start falling on Nick Nurse, which is unfortunate because he's a really good coach. And if we're going to come at Doc Rivers, we're going to have to come at Nick Nurse too. But at the end of the day, my full opinion is I think they're all right. Like, with the way the NBA is set up, you know, with 10 teams making it to the initial part of the playoffs, you know, to fight to fight your way in.
Yeah.
They're at 4 wins. That's only 5 games out of even the 6th seed, you know, to avoid that play-in tournament. I think Joel Embiid's a monster. I think once Paul George is healthy enough, he can contribute. Because I love Paul George's fit with his team. You just got to think, they just got to make it to where they're healthy consistently.
Okay.
And they don't have too many. They got to get rid of some of these problems.
They do. I mean, on paper, it makes sense. It's
a great team on paper.
It's like what you said at the beginning.
But when you're relying on Kyle Lowry a little too much, that's where.
Come on, bro. And listen, you said something else. They don't really have a style of play that we. I mean, it's early. It's still
absolutely
really early. But they don't have anything that seems to be ongoing when certain things are not there. You know what I mean? So we don't see that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's okay to know that Joel's a beast, but
he's getting a little too frustrated, a little too not on the court, a little too... You know, and it rubs people the wrong way, and I think that's why, you know, Tyrese Maxey is a very mature player. I don't think he fits in with this team. It's kind of like what you were alluding to. He doesn't really fit into this team as much as you would hope. I mean, I think Tyrese Maxey's a dog.
I think
what's happening here is he's kind of like, and I get it, the Sixers haven't won shit, but it's similar to Jaylen Brown to me, where he's a dog, but like he's always going to get overshadowed by the superstar that's on the team, no matter how good he does. And I know Jaylen Brown finally got his flowers last year, you know, with the conference finals and finals MVPs.
Right.
But I think that's what Maxey's going to go through for a little while. Because they'd be stupid to let him go.
No, they gave him money too. So that's, you know what I mean? It'd have to be a trade.
But at what point do you, like you said, with the process, at what point do you let Joel Embiid go and finish this whole process nonsense? Because in my opinion, I think this is just long-term karma. From when they got Ben Simmons, Nerlens Noel, Jahlil Okafor, and none of that shit worked.
Right.
I mean, if you guys remember, Joel Embiid was drafted and missed his first two years. And then he came back, and then he was still getting injured. Ben Simmons missed his first year almost purposely. Noel missed his first year. Okafor, they didn't do anything good for Okafor, and he didn't even have a career because of it. So
the process.
The process has really just been they got lucky. They got lucky with getting Embiid. They got lucky Tyrese Maxey ended up being good. I think they got lucky that they were able to get rid of Ben Simmons for James Harden and then James Harden for, you know, the rest of the shit that they got. I think it's all luck. And
absolutely,
either their luck's going to turn into a championship or it's going to run out. But,
well, yes. And the truth is that they are definitely, they still believe to add the Paul. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, you know, to answer your question on when do you.
And I think if you have Joel Embiid, you always got to believe.
Yes, you know.
And I think that's the problem with the Clippers is if you have a Kawhi Leonard, you always got to go for it. You always got to believe, because you can't do, for example, what the Knicks did. They had Carmelo Anthony, but they just gave up at one point and stopped putting things around him, but kept him on the team.
Right.
And that does more harm than the other way around.
Yes, agreed.
But do you think the 76ers can turn it around?
I believe that they could, but I don't believe that they have a push. I think they're doomed.
You know, you think that's
they're
it?
Doomed. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll make it 7-10. I think they'll inch in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, as long as Embiid's playing, I think those one game playoffs, you don't want to see Joel Embiid.
So real quick, just to kind of piggyback off what you were saying, like with Kawhi, the only thing about that is that the same thing seems to be true about those guys now, that even though they may be conserved for the playoffs, there is no determination of how much you will have them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, that's Kawhi last, you know what I mean? Like, the last couple seasons, man, has been kind of preserved for these moments and...
Not there.
You know what I'm saying?
So, I think last year, he played the most games he's played in, like, seven years and still flamed out at the playoffs.
Yes.
So, I don't know. Some of these guys' bodies just aren't built for this and...
So that's a strong. That's a great question. I, you know what I mean. It's too much not around him.
Yeah, I think at least it'll be fun to follow.
Yeah,
but I'll sit here and say I think they'll make the play in. At least I think they'll make the play.
Agreed.
And I think the main goal of the play in is I think they got to get whatever seed doesn't face them against the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can beat the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
Without
a question.
I think they'll at least put up a fight against the Knicks. But yeah. Moving on to some football, Eberflus, Eber, get the fuck out of Dodge, was fired by the Bears. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So by next season, Caleb Williams will have had two head coaches and three offensive coordinators, or actually, might end up being a thing where he'll have a third head coach, a third or fourth offensive coordinator,
because
I doubt that the guy, you know, the one that's
Thomas Brown.
If there's a better coach out there,
about like Ben Johnson from Detroit. I think
that would be a beautiful move.
Yeah, because of his offensive mindset.
But Ben Johnson also said, you know, he's going to, you know, kind of play like McDaniels did on the Patriots. Mm-hmm. He's not going to leave unless he feels like it's... Mm-hmm. Absolutely a good situation. I think this would be a good situation. I just think he loves Detroit too much, though. I don't know if he'll actually go to Chicago, but if I'm Chicago, gotta go get him.
Yeah, you put the
house. How do you feel about this whole situation?
Well, I think it's horrible, man. I think that so when you think about it, the last three number one picks that they had, Mitchell, Justin, and then Caleb, and with the count that you just gave, you know what I mean, with the OCs and head coaches, it's amazing, you know what I mean, with the history of this franchise, they've never been able to adjust to making a good quarterback anyway since the Super Bowl with Jim McMahon, I guess. So I don't know, man. It's horrible, man, for a guy who worked as hard as he did to be number one, you know what I mean, to have that kind of thing going for him. But hey, it is what it is. They got it. This is the NFL. He gets paid for it. You know what I mean? Eberflus fucked up two guys, man.
Yeah, and I mean, his whole coaching record is just terrible at this point. And I thought it was good that they at least kept him, tried to build that.
But those last-minute decisions, those the last few games, right?
Yeah.
The decision-making in those last few games kind of also showed you that he's been a deer in the headlights.
Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying? And like, it's time.
Because you can't, in my opinion, you can't. And that's why I like why the Chicago Bears did it, because you don't see it too much. I think you really see how a coach is when he has a team built around him.
Mm-hmm.
Because a coach can only do so much when you have a terrible team on the field. Like Justin Fields, you know, God bless his heart, Pittsburgh Steelers are doing some great things with both him and Russell there.
Mm-hmm.
But like...
Primarily with Russell, though.
Yeah, exactly. But like with Chicago, it's like they didn't have a good team.
Right.
And it's not like Justin Fields was this top-tier quarterback. So it was good to see them keep him, give him a chance with the good dogs. Mm-hmm. But now they're back to square one.
Yeah.
And I think whoever they choose, they kind of... I hope they choose someone that doesn't get threatened with the hot seat for sure. Right. Unless he's absolutely dog shit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like what the Broncos did with Sean Payton, for example.
Right.
They brought him in with Russell, you know, Russell Wilson was there.
Mm-hmm.
They gave it, what, 2 years, a year and a half with Russell Wilson. Just didn't work out, but they kept Sean Payton. They understand it's not Sean Payton's fault. And I was telling everybody this, because everyone loves to hate on Sean Payton.
Okay.
And I get that.
Okay.
Like, I completely understand why we would hate on Sean Payton. But now you're seeing that he got the quarterback that he wanted. He has a team that he wanted. He kept a few pieces from the old team.
Yeah.
That are shining brightly, Sir Patrick Surtain, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good. I think play like teams, you know, some teams just don't have that vision of, like, they'll keep coaches too long or they'll cut them off too short. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the Jets, for example.
Absolutely.
They're like, Robert Saleh was good in the beginning. But I think once that pressure started hitting, he started showing that he's not as complete of a head coach as you need him to be. You know, Doug Peterson on the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Dougie P. You know, I think teams just, you got to stick with something and stick with something solid.
Yes.
And that's really...
Yeah, I agree, man. I have nothing on that. I agree 100%. The only other thing I would say is that what seems to be not working right now in the NFL is, like, defensive-minded coaches who don't have a staff in tow. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're an offensive-minded coach, it seems like it's easier to build a staff for you. But if you're a defensive-minded coach, you need to have, like, your staff in order.
An offensive mind.
Yes, you need to have and actually let them have free range. You know what I mean? Because in looking at, like, the Robert Salas and the defensive guys, you know what I mean? If they're not – don't have a brain trust, even Dan Campbell, his brain trust is basically Ben Johnson.
You know what I mean?
Like, and it's amazing. Like, but then you get the guys like Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan, you know what I mean? And
Nick Sirianni.
Yes, Sean McVay. Yeah. You know what I mean? I love those guys and how they coach. You know what I'm saying? Because they are scheming, you know what I mean, for the players that they have. You know what I'm saying? So it's a little bit different. But yes, Eberflus.
And I think
he was a defensive-minded coach that didn't have any type of real. Well, it looks like this guy, Thomas Brown, may have his fingers on.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
When you see the Falcons coach, defensive-minded, but they can't quite click.
I think it's Kirk.
I think it's Kirk.
Yeah, we might get to that, but I think it's Kirk. Okay. Man. I'm not even going to lie.
Man.
Go ahead.
No, we'll talk about it. Okay. Yeah, because that would have been a whole nother thing. But yeah, no, I think with the Bears, I think they're okay.
Okay.
It's Caleb's first year. I don't think there needs to be this crazy pressure for him to make it the first year. Of course, you got all this talent around him now. Mm-hmm. You did this. You designed this. This was the first Bears offseason that I thought was perfect in a long time.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, in the division that they're in, you got the Packers, the Lions, the Vikings, three top teams in the NFC, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think you just give it another year.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, Caleb Williams has had some solid games. Right. Even in his bad games, I thought he's shown something.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone that says he's a terrible number one pick, I think they're drunk.
That's
crazy. I know Jaden Daniels is doing good things with the Commanders, but I think there's a certain pressure that comes with being the number one pick, and there's a certain comfort with the number two pick.
Right.
Like, for example, C.J. Stroud, and then now Jaden Daniels. They're great quarterbacks. They didn't go into the best situation, but they went into a situation where there was really no eyes.
But it also seems highly normal that the number one picks are going to shitty organizations.
Yeah, exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? Absolutely. That most likely don't have a program or history of winning. You know what I mean? Not all the time, but if we look at the most latest quarterback, like in this conversation, you know what I mean? Looking at Chicago, they don't have a history of developing quarterbacks. Carolina, they don't have a history of developing quarterbacks. You know what I mean? Like, and then brought in two number one quarterbacks while they had Bryce, like, trying to figure it out. They had Baker and Sam come through there. Wasn't that kind of crazy? Damn, just think about that. But it just seems, you know what I'm saying, that, like, those situations are not the best situations. But like you said, with the lower pressure, another thing that you got to highlight just in what you're saying real quick, I just want to do that, is the coaching that is in Houston and the coaching that is in Washington is exactly what we were just saying, where it's defensive-minded guys who have, like, their brain thrust into the...
And I love D'Amico Ryans for the Texans, man.
Absolutely. His OC is the shit. Just like, real quick before we move, I love seeing old homeboy with Jaden Daniels, man. Yeah. Like, I keep forgetting, what's his name? But his house was everything out in Arizona. He was their coach a little while ago.
Yeah. Cliff Kingsbury. Yeah.
Kingsbury. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like, I like him too. Yes, yeah. Bro. I love
him. It's just sometimes you just go to a situation that makes you look bad.
Yeah, that's it.
And I don't think, you know, with the Cardinals, I just think it was a lot of other things. And that's what I'm saying. Like, teams that get rid of their guys too early, I think the Cardinals could have grew with him.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they're doing okay right now, but I think him and Kyler Murray would have been
great match together. For a long time.
Yeah. Shohei Ohtani is the MVP in the National League. Mm-hmm. Aaron Judge is the MVP in the American League, just as it was supposed to be written up.
Mm-hmm.
What was your initial
thoughts? Well, I love it. The crazy thing about it is just being a part of this baseball season itself, like going to the...
Such a good season.
Yeah, just being a part of it a little bit
more. Oh, yeah, you went to some playoff games. Yeah,
you know
games.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Seeing some shit. So it was like, it was kind of cool to see a couple of different things to kind of be a part of the season. So it was crazy. What I can say about it is they're two totally different type of players that I love that they're both were MVPs for kind of the same reason this time. Like with it being the homers and everything. But just think about how... Aaron Judge himself being an outfielder and just like a power hitter. Like, I've been to the stadium where they're booing him because he swings at every damn thing because he thinks he can hit everything, which is amazing. You know what I'm saying? But what I also love is how Shohei is kind of like a skilled, just fucking baseball player. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think Shohei Ohtani is like the first person ever.
Uh-huh.
That God put on this earth.
Yes.
To just play baseball. All
right, so we totally agree there. We totally agree, bro. I don't even know how to put it into words when, like, you know what I mean?
Tough.
He does everything pretty good.
It's tough when you think about Barry Bonds, but I do think Shohei Ohtani is the best of all time.
I'm not going to let you do that, but I like
what
you're saying right now. But so listen, he was put on to play, I think, those two guys were you just said it. By how you just said it, you cannot say the full because you are the baseball guy. Yeah. Wolfie, shout to you too. I'm sure you will agree with how these guys how they came into the game and just kind of carried.
And I think Aaron Judge, it's unfortunate that he came in at 25 and Shohei Ohtani came in, you know, around the same time. Mm-hmm. What we could have gotten if they were a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. In terms of long-time career stats, but I think They are one and two, whichever way you put them. Mm-hmm. I think Aaron Judge is definitive number two now.
Yeah.
After that terrible playoff. He's legit, unfortunately, the worst postseason player of all time at the current moment. Because he's only, like, he has, I think, the lowest batting average ever in the playoffs, which, you know, it sucks. But I just think that's going to be the unfortunate thing moving forward, is that everyone's going to enjoy everything that Shohei does.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to Aaron Judge, I think he has to win it.
Yeah.
I think he has to either win it or have a good fucking postseason trying.
Yes.
Like this year, I think it would have been respected a little bit more if he was going off and the Yankees lost. But when they needed him the absolute most, when all he had to do was just come through with a couple of good swings.
Yeah, contact.
He had nothing until it was already over. They were down 3-0. That's kind of what it was. Aaron Judge is one of those guys to where it doesn't matter what you do in the regular season. What can you give me in the postseason now at this point?
Yeah.
Because.
Without a doubt.
I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I love the homers. I love everything. Yeah. But.
Without a doubt.
The Yankees need to win one. I think it's about time that they need to win one because we're starting to get to a certain period of time where it's going to be 20 years after they've won, and then the years are just going to keep ticking after that. I mean, I thought it was the same thing with the Mets. I don't care that they went on this magical run.
Yes.
Like, they didn't win, and they need to win. They haven't won since 80.
It doesn't matter.
86, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, you know, and it's like I said, it's unfortunate. It's the same thing as I feel we were just talking about him, Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
I don't care what goes on in the regular season. What can you do in the postseason?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Kawhi Leonard, no matter what he does in the regular season,
what
are you
matter.
Are you going to come back and finally get the Clippers to where they need to be? And it's unfortunate because, you know, these guys are talented. They do some great things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Aaron Judge, is he going to be remembered for the guy that, you know, hit all these home runs, broke records? Or is he going to be remembered as the guy that completely fell on his face in the postseason? And I can tell you this much, Alex Rodriguez, he was going to be remembered as that guy that didn't give them anything in the postseason until he came through in 2009. They won the championship.
Talk about it.
And that's all basically almost forgotten about at this point.
Yes.
It's all forgiven with a ring.
Yes.
And like I said, Aaron Judge, I'm so happy. He's got his MVPs. He's the captain. I think he's the right guy to lead New York because he's very humble, classy. Mm-hmm. Everything he needs. He cannot have another ugly postseason.
He can't.
I thought this year was just, it was a little too rough, and I hope, because if Juan Soto leaves, then I don't think the Yankees are going to even come.
Something we're going
to come
talk
close
about.
To the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
New York Jets and Giants.
Man, I'm repping hard today. I got the blue Yankee on. Oh, man. But yeah.
So the Jets are losing with talent, and the Giants are losing and falling apart without talent.
Yeah, let's unpack both. All right, let's do the Jets first.
Yes.
All right, let's go with them first. All right, so worst record this year than we had last year
with Zach Wilson.
You know what I mean? Yeah. With Aaron Rodgers. Let's point that out first, right? What I think, just real quick, is that this is never to be duplicated NFL teams. It is not a good look to give aging superstars complete control of franchises. Because what happens now, you understand what I'm saying? Like, you got him trying to build bridges. You know, everybody's going now. Robert Saleh's going. Everything's told. We got Albrecht coaching now. Aaron's still pretty much running the show. You know what I mean? Everybody's been reduced to these other roles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Now, looking at it, the offense is just nowhere. Breece Hall is
This Eagles defense is absolutely...
Yeah, they bananas.
Eagles defense has turned a corner compared to last year.
Yeah, they got that boy taken off. So you know
I mean, like, they have Lamar Jackson actually working for it today. Yeah, but my apologies.
Yes, no problem, bro.
The Jets.
No problem.
Yeah, we're watching it live on Sunday, Eagles-Ravens right now.
So what I will say, it's just terrible, man, because what it looks like is just... We're taking away from Breece. We're taking away from Sauce, even though he's on the other side of the ball.
Yeah.
We're taking away from Garrett. Do you understand
what I'm saying? And that's what I'm saying, is they have all the talent
in the
world.
Yes, and then we brought in Devontae, and it's like...
worse.
Yes, it's crazy. He just forcing the... It just does not make any sense. I don't know, man. It's hard, man. I don't even want to talk about it. Then you got Leonard Williams and all these boys.
And
it's just horrible, man. Like, everything. Then when you go to the blue, you know, I'll let you do the green first, and then we can talk about the blue, man. But that is amazing. It's horrible, man, being a fan. I don't even...
Honestly, at this point, I feel really bad for Jets fans. You got teased with Mark Sanchez into thinking that he was actually a good quarterback, and then the butt fumble him just being good to bad out of complete nowhere.
Yes, man.
You go to Sam Darnold, who was supposed to fix everything. You never built a solid team around Sam Darnold. Zach Wilson comes in, you know, we have fucking moms and all this crazy other shit.
Yes, man.
And then I think you turn to a veteran quarterback too late. And I especially think, I'll say it now, I'll say it again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Jets should have expected anything crazy out of Aaron Rodgers. I think it fully comes down to the coaching and GM to put coaching in the right spot. Because Aaron Rodgers was terrible before his Achilles injury.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we already saw the regression. I mean... Mm-hmm. Again, you know, on the Packers, did he have, rookie receivers? Yes. But if you're this big, elite, legendary quarterback, you should be able to make that work.
Yes.
You know, he was already bad, and then he tore his Achilles, and now he's coming back trying, like, this is the year after he tore his Achilles.
And I just shouted out Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
Because he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
He knew what he was doing.
And I think the Packers saw that, and they chose him over Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. And now Aaron Rodgers is on the Jets, falling on his face, which is unfortunate because I want this team to succeed.
Yeah, man.
I would hope that they keep Aaron Rodgers for at least one more year, try to figure this out. But if not, I'll absolutely understand. But it's just miserable to be a Jets fan because it seems like no matter what combo is going on, it's nothing's clicking, nothing's working. And the closest you've been is the one that shouldn't have worked out, which was Zach Wilson. And that's the closest things have really been to clicking. Because I believed in the Jets.
Because the sum of all parts aside from Zach was everything. Absolutely. It's actually diminished.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying with Aaron Rodgers being there. It's kind of crazy, man. It's something that it's kind of, I liken it to something we'll talk about a little bit too. That culture thing is a real thing when it comes to locker rooms and things like that. You know what I mean? And he's kind of a black cloud, man. Like he's not a, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not, it's just, you can, it just through everything, you see the energy, you know what I mean? Is not something that seems to be like, totally positive or infectious to, and it is infectious because they say negativity breeds faster, but it's not like, you know what I mean? It's injecting a lot of positivity into all of those other parts, man, and what you need him to do. You know what I mean?
He's the
commander in chief of the team. So, you know, it's like you said, though, if we move on, I am okay with it. I don't know where we go, but you understand what I'm saying?
It's tough to move on because, like, you're going to have to get rid of all these players. Mm-hmm. And then do you really, like, it'll suck because you have two really good young quarterbacks. You know, corner pieces, as you stated, you know, Breece Hall, Sauce Gardner. So it's a it's just another tough situation for the Jets. And as a fan of the Jets that I'm not, but like, you know, fans of the Jets, it has to be even rougher, I can only imagine. So hope you Jets fans are staying, you know, okay. One year, it'll, hopefully it'll happen. On to the New York Giants. I mean, my only opinion here is this is exactly what the Giants get. You know what I mean? I think what they really tried to do with Daniel Jones was that they drafted him and they took a chance. And then they did not want to be wrong about taking that chance. So they let him fall on his face. They let him stay there while they sucked. And then, of course, you know, in comes Dable. And they have a good little season there. Daniel Jones looks good.
Yeah, a couple of good game runs, yeah.
And then I think last year they showed that Daniel Jones isn't the answer, but then they still give him a contract, 4 years, a whole bunch of money. And I think that they gave him the contract, what, 2 years ago? Yes. No, they gave it to him last year, going into the season?
Yes, it was 2 years ago.
Two years ago, okay. But they basically chose him over paying Saquon.
Yes.
Saquon Barkley, I think you would have to be a fool. Not to see that this guy's a generational running back. You know what I'm saying? It's how I felt with Derrick Henry. Like, you would have to be a fool not to see that Derrick Henry was a generational running back. Just the size, you know, what they put into their regimen, what they put into their training. Saquon Barkley is tough as hell. You know, was he injured a few times in New York? Absolutely.
I mean, he was the sole reason, you know, it was important. It was... He was going to be injured. What else were they going to use?
Exactly.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
So when it comes to the Giants, I think the Daniel Jones thing exploded in their face, but I think what was wrong about that situation is how long they let it go.
Yeah.
How many quarterbacks that they passed up on.
Yeah.
You know, I would. It would be a shame if their head coach is fired because I don't think it's even close to being his fault.
Okay.
I think when you're bouncing, when the three names you're bouncing around at quarterback is Drew Lock, Daniel Jones, and
Tommy DeVito.
I mean, how is that the head coach's fault?
No.
You know what I mean?
Nothing to do with that.
You know what I mean?
He inherits the
roster. That is three bottom of the barrel quarterbacks in this entire league. So, you know, I don't think it's Dayball's fault. I think the Giants, it was a pride thing.
They made a mistake
drafting Daniel Jones. They made an even bigger mistake giving him all that money. Like, I thought that was absolutely insane. And then, you know, this is what happens. I think it was wrong to release him midseason. You know, kind of, I think they should have just kept him.
So another thing, bro, do you mind?
Yeah,
one second. I just want to say this. Like, you can see that, like, Saquon was is something that is another thing that brings so much positive energy along with what he does on the field.
Absolutely.
In New York, you also see that they have no culture. Right? Yeah. Like, they have, like, no type of, you know what I mean? No culture. Yeah. You got, like, the rookie speaking out like he did last week.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I had issues with that, too, because it's like, what are you talking about? Like, you just entered the league. Like, you got to
You do have relax. An issue with that, though?
I mean, like...
Tell me what you have issue with about that, though.
So, me, it's like, not everybody that's drafted early on gets put into a situation to win.
Gotcha.
Like, these, for rookies, and I have a huge issue with rookies speaking out this early. Unless you're like a quarterback that has nothing around. Like, I thought, for example, Bryce Young, I thought he should have been trashing his team in the media. Like, you know, how are you guys going to bench me, but you're not.
Malik Nabers said something ill when he was even drafted, though. He was that boy. He said, I hope Daniel Jones better know how to get me the ball.
and that's true. And I fuck with that to a certain extent, but it's like, you know, there's dog days in the NFL.
Yes.
And it's kind of just showing me that he's not going to be a player because the Giants are going to go towards another phase here. It's not getting prettier than this. I don't know what he's expecting.
Right.
But if he's expecting for this to get prettier.
Right.
Because what quarterback's going to want to play there now?
Right.
Like, you're talking about veteran. Like, if they're going to go veteran, who's going to actually go out their way? And then what rookie's going to be excited to play there? You just saw how they trashed Daniel Jones after being the ones to put all this confidence in him. They snatched it away just like that. And it's just dog days. I don't know what you're complaining about. Like, one, you're on the New York Giants, so were you really expecting to win some games? And two, you know what I mean? Like, not, you know, rookies need to understand what the dog days are. Because if you show that you're going to be like this during, like, the tough times, no good team's going to want you.
Because
then you're just going to be a distraction when the team's actually playing bad.
Yeah.
But I guess my final, you know, thought towards the Giants would be, it's just, it's nasty.
It's nasty.
It's ill. It's horrible. They're lucky they won their two Super Bowls when they did.
Yeah. You know what I mean? They're lucky they had Eli Manning, who capitalized on the moments.
We're going to pivot back to basketball. So it's... And three shots, you can be quick with it. You know, you can have a little bit of explanation. What are you most surprised by in the NBA? What is exactly what you thought would happen? And what are you most disappointed by?
All right. So I'm most surprised by, I was telling you a little bit about before we started, Buddy Hield's role and Klay's role in Dallas and Golden State. Like, I think Buddy Hield's doing better in Golden State than Klay is going to do in Dallas, all right? What I'm most disappointed in is going to be... I was telling you one a little bit earlier, but I can't really go with that one, though, because it's not valid to me.
Yeah.
But what I can go with, who I am most disappointed in so far, is going to be Milwaukee.
Okay.
All right. Even though they had a couple little spurts where
I'm gonna disagree with you there because
it's okay, no problem. And I'm
I feel like it should be expected. Doc Rivers as the head coach.
Yes. Yeah. I already know you don't got you. It's you don't. Doc ain't got no favor with you. At
yeah.
All.
No.
he has I mean, no like, favor with you. Yeah.
Especially now that things are a little toxic there. I just don't think that. I don't know. I have no expectations of that team.
But that's most disappointing to me because of, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just the caliber of players.
And I'm starting to kind of think that, like,
go ahead.
I get Damian Lillard's a good player, but I'm starting to kind of think he's not a good leader.
Right. Maybe not.
Because like, they never were able to break through in Portland. And I get it. Golden State was there. But they were never a legitimate threat.
Right.
In Portland. And now, like, Milwaukee, he's supposed to be this final piece. And it seems like things are going... the opposite way instead of the way that they should be. But, you know, that'll be a conversation for at the end of the year if they don't, you know, do anything. Because I still, like, with Giannis averaging 31 and 14 or whatever the hell he's averaging, they should pick it back up at some point, you would hope.
Yeah. But right now, that's most disappointing because the other reason why it's most disappointing to me is because they already have talked about, like, you know, Giannis being traded to, like, Houston and these different little, you know what I mean? These different type of crazy little moves.
That, I think it'd be beautiful in Houston.
You know what I'm saying? Like, real talk. You know what I mean? So that's why that's a big disappointment. And I'm going to say who has not surprised me or who is, like, kind of just what you expected. Who's doing what I expected. I am going to have to say Boston, bro.
And that's what I said at the beginning of the year. I think it's just another day in office.
And I think that's what's good. What's scary
about the Celtics is that they have the same exact
thing
going on as they did last year. So it's just every day until the postseason. It's another day at the office. And I think that could bite them at the end of the year in the playoffs. Just because they're going to be on cruise control all year. And normally those teams that are on cruise control all year, you know, I get the Golden State Warriors were a difference to that. But that's just because how far ahead they were in front of everybody with Kevin Durant. I just think that could bite them in the ass.
Well, we're just going to move on.
Yeah.
We're going to move on.
But one of these days
we're going to come back to this because I also believe that that is built in with them now. I am going to be honest with you. I believe that that's built in with them.
So you kind of think, like, for a team to beat the Celtics, it's going to be have to be a team that establishes a similar. These guys have been together for
without a question. Because this is what happened. That's what happened with Golden State. I believe that's what happened with most dynasties. Like, of course, they come with a style of play that, you know what I mean, you have to match
that's fair.
But after that, it's the cohesiveness that you just can't break through. You know what I mean? All right.
We'll see. So the most surprised that I am is the Orlando Magic at number three.
Great.
I expect them to be good? Yes, but I expected them to be good with Paolo. Healthy.
I like that.
And that's on the team. I think for them to be number three for as many games as Paolo has missed, you know, with his injury, I think it's filthy. I think Franz Wagner has come a really long way. I think he's doing better than even I thought he was, and I'm a huge fan of the guy. I think they got a lot of talent there. I think the one biggest thing that's honestly surprised me the most about the Mavericks is that, you know, their head coach.
Hold on.
Is that Jamal Mosley? I didn't expect him to be as good as he is. And I think that's the one thing that I want. I said it a couple of years ago on this podcast. I said, for the Magic to be successful, they need a good system because they have the talent. They have all these random guys that are talented, but now with a system, with good coaching, they're actually making positive strides. And, you know, they're third in the East. I think that they can stay up there, especially because they're going to get Paolo back eventually. I think that's why it's been so surprising to me. Now, exactly what I thought would happen, I think the Rockets. I have been, as you guys know, I've been so high on the Rockets. And I think now with them all healthy, I think with them, I mean, you don't want to see Van Vliet, you know, pushing a referee's, you know, head with his, with his hand. But I think, you know, when it comes to that, I just, you know, it's just what I thought would happen.
Not a problem.
Like, listen, they have Sengun, who's really good at center. They have Green, who has showed what he can do last year and is showing what he can do this year. They got veterans in there like Van Vliet and Brooks. They got all of their young talent. They got so much young talent. This is a complete team. And, you know, their head coach, I get it. He made some mistakes in the past when he was in Boston. But he was the, I think to Boston, he is the Mark Jackson
to Golden
State. Because
he laid the master architect.
He laid down, I mean, well, Brad Stevens laid down the foundation.
He's the GM.
He laid down that foundation.
The architect coaching. Of the system.
And he accidentally, you know, slept in the wrong bed. Not accidentally, but he slept in the wrong bed.
There we go.
And now he's in Houston.
There's no accidents for wrong people.
I think Houston's going to be great.
Except with cars.
That's true. And then I guess my biggest disappointment, and you guys can kind of say what you want to say, is I think Minnesota's falling apart. And I get it. They got rid of Kat for Julius Randle. I praise the move of getting Julius Randle because I think it should have worked. Am I surprised that Rudy Gobert is as buns as he is as a leader and everything? No. I just think Anthony Edwards, for him to take this next step in his career, he's going to have to be that leader that this team needs. And I get it. Stuff is falling apart around him. It's not necessarily his fault, but he got to be the one that goes, instead of going to the media, you got to get into that locker room and be like, pick your fucking heads up and let's go. Like, we were just in the Western Conference Finals last year, and I get it, Cat's out, Julius Randle's in now, but you guys got to do better than what you're giving me. Instead, he's complaining in the media, complaining on the court. I think Rudy Gobert is, and I'll always say, Rudy Gobert is toxic. I don't like Rudy Gobert.
He's young, man.
No, and I get it.
He's
but
very young.
I just think for all that time that you spent in Utah and it falling apart.
No, Rudy, I was talking about AAU.
Oh, yeah.
But Rudy.
Yeah, and he's young, but it's like we've already established him as a superstar.
Yeah.
Now he's got to take that next step and just be the leader that this team needs. And I'm honestly disappointed that he's not because I thought he learned a lot last year. I mean, he did. He did fabulous. I was singing, praising his name, and I still am. I'm still singing, praising Anthony Edwards' name. But he's going to have to take that leadership role to get this team to the next level.
Gotcha. Okay. I can't disagree with that. I just believe that it's moments. I think it's early, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so it is what it is.
Yeah,
you
know what absolutely.
I'm saying? I cannot disagree because everything that you're saying is correct. He's actually in the media. You know what I mean? He's doing it the opposite way. But I think that that is a part of how things are done nowadays,
absolutely.
Too, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a part of how things are done. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, I'm sure he probably has some kind of conversation with them. But I'm not sure how that rectifies things. I'm not sure that how that makes people play together or
well, I just, you know, it's just they have the like because for example you have DiVincenzo wanting to get out already. Rudy Gobert is acting like a dumbass.
Julius and he just got more money.
Julius Randle, for whatever reason, I think Ant and Julius Randle have
they're good.
They have kind of worked together well, but all these other pieces, you got to get everybody on the same page because this team is talented still.
Yes.
And if it keeps going left, you're going to start trading these guys and becoming worse and worse and worse. And I think this team still has the potential to make some noise, do some real damage. But I think that starts with your best player. And like you said, he's young. But I can't give him that excuse when, you know, they went through everything that they went through last year. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
So, dang. The Ravens just missed two field goals. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. We like that. But, all right. So, we're going to do threat or doom.
Yep.
So basically, I'm going to give you a team. We're going to make this quick. You know, you give a nugget, I'll give a nugget.
Yep.
And we'll move on. So threat or doom, are they an actual threat for the NBA championship? Or are they going to fall apart and be who most people think they are? So we'll start with the best team in the league right now, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Doom.
Doom?
Without a question. If y'all watch, y'all need to make sure y'all go back to our clips and our episodes because we also handled these guys last year. And I'm sticking to what I said about Donovan and his counterpart last year. It's they too sometimey for me.
Okay.
All right. Him and Darius are a little too sometimey for me. Listen, I love Evan. You know, I love, listen, I love them. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, but this is very normal.
Okay. Right.
So what I'm going to say is doom. They're going to most likely run out of gas.
And I'm going to disagree with you.
No problem.
I think the Cavs, this year's going to be like the third year that they make it.
Sure.
I think the fourth year where they thought that they can do something. Because
sure.
if you remember, before Donovan Mitchell gets there, the Cavs, they're really good. But Darius Garland, I think he got hurt at the end of that season. And they fell all the way to play-in. And then they didn't make the playoffs. I think Donovan Mitchell signing that extension took a lot of, because I thought last year they were all just playing to see if Donovan Mitchell would come back the next year. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I think while they were playing, there was that shadow over them of Donovan Mitchell's not coming back.
But they were contenders for the East.
Yeah.
Literally.
Absolutely.
Literally.
But we said it last year that they won it. Because like you said, they're too sometimey. And I think Darius Garland, he did have that very terrible game, you know, a few days ago, or I think it was last week, where he shot like 3 for 19, whatever. But I think he's even taken a big step in his game. I think the biggest things to happen to them were Donovan Mitchell gets extended, Darius Garland drops his trade request, and then Evan Mobley continues his development. I don't care what Jared Allen does. I think he's always going to suck.
I think he's a toxic one out of the bunch.
Yeah. Because when he says the lights are too bright, and that's too much. But I think they'll be good. I don't think they'll make the finals or anything, but I think they'll at least.
That's why I say doom. Anybody that I'm saying doom to is
not a final contender.
Yes.
Okay. Then I think I'll agree with you.
Okay.
I don't think they'll make the finals. I think there's teams that are going to be just way better.
Yeah, because the in-between argument, I think we're going to have when the playoffs.
And I think it all depends on Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell needs to bring what he brought sometimes.
Yes.
And Utah every day in the playoffs for Cleveland. I think Donovan Mitchell, if he can give you 40-point games in the playoffs, I think they'll be good. If he's inconsistent in the playoffs, I think it'll be doing.
I'm going to be partially contradictory right now in what I've said earlier. He is a player that I believe that you should actually take the gas off at some point so that he is good for the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Literally.
Yeah.
Because
he'll play every game and give you his all, whether that, like, even if it's his 6-for-30 performance.
For sure. And all he needs still is be to on the tweak gas an pedal. Angle or something like that, and then he's down for 3 weeks. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So he's one of the players that, now, if he's healthy come playoff, we're going to have them in between arguments depending on who they're facing up against.
This one should be easy, the Boston Celtics.
Come on. Yeah, we know they're not. Yeah, without a question.
Yeah, they're absolutely a threat. No, I think the only thing that'll stop this team is if Tatum and Brown start beefing. I think it'll happen one day. I don't know if it'll happen this year, but I think that's going to be their downfall eventually.
The drama. Oh,
is that because I thought it would be their downfall this year. Just because, I thought it would be last year too. I thought, Jaylen Brown wants to be the best team, best person on the team. Jason Tatum walks around acting like he's the best player on the team. He gets all the recognition. Jaylen Brown doesn't get none. And then these motherfuckers win the championship. Jaylen Brown gets the finals MVP. So there's his recognition. He doesn't need it anymore. But I think at one point, I do think they'll come apart. I don't know if it'll be this year, but I think they're
trash. I actually think they gang.
Really?
I ain't even gonna lie to you.
You do?
I think they homeboys.
And if they truly are, and I think if they, they keep going, I think they're gonna win a couple more.
I think they understand Batman and Robin, Batman and Superman. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I agree.
Bane and the Joker, whatever. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
so here's an interesting team. The Oklahoma City Thunder.
I believe that they are a threat. They are a threat.
Okay.
For sure. Even with Chet being hurt.
Yeah, and that's why I agree. They're still playing really good without Chet there. I think they're running some schemes that they did the year before when he was hurt, his first full season. I think Shea is one hell of a leader. I think he's one hell of a player on the offense and the defense. I think this team is locked in. And what I think is if that Chet is going to be hurt for an extended period of time and they get to the trade deadline and it's still not looking good, they have the draft picks to get anybody that they want.
It's kind of crazy.
Anybody that they want. So, like, if they really need to get another defender, if they really need to get another shooter, if they need to get another Chet, they're going to get that.
Yes.
They can get whoever they want. I just hope they don't get anybody toxic. I think this GM is so locked in, Sam Presti.
Yes.
Whether he's, picking the right guys in the draft or trading for the right people, I think he's so locked in that he's not going to get a bullshit-ass player into this and ruin everything.
And if I'm being honest, and he's one of the people that I like to kind of check out and stuff like that, people love Sam Presti too. So it will definitely be a fit that matches, you know what I mean? Like whoever's on the block or whatever,
and that's
whatever,
why
it
I
will
love,
be something that
and
fits.
And he understands, you know what I mean?
Like
he understands what he needs to do when he needs to do it. Because getting rid of Josh Giddey.
For sure.
Josh Giddey's talented.
Yes, for sure.
But, you have to get rid of that toxicity.
For sure.
And he knows that. He cut that off immediately.
Sure. Agreed.
And that move right there just showed me, bringing in some defense, too. I know it was a one-for-one trade. I can't even think of who's the bald fellow's name?
I can't remember. You got me, bro. My bad.
The white dude? Caruso. My bad.
Yeah, Caruso.
Trading Giddey for Caruso, I think. Caruso is just exactly what they needed. They needed that extra defender. Josh Giddey has been playing some of the worst defense in the entire league on top of, letting all that shit get into his head.
Yeah.
He's a disgusting person. Fuck him. But, the Houston Rockets.
I'm going to say doom, bro.
Oof.
Yeah. Only because I'm talking about the long game.
Yeah.
When we get to the different phases of the season again, we'll argue the nuance.
Yeah, I mean, doom, are they a championship threat to get to the and that's what I'm saying. I'm gonna say threat just because
threat to what?
I think they can make the finals if things go right.
Okay.
I think there's threats out there in the West. Like we just talked about the Thunder. There's gonna be the Mavericks, there's gonna be all these the Nuggets, all these other teams. But I think they have as good of a team as some of these teams that they're competing against.
So they Minnesota last year?
Basically. Yeah.
Okay.
So, when it comes to the Thunder, I think they match up really well. against the Thunder. They have a powerful offense. They have a powerful defense. They got young guys that can give you 40 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. I think Jabari Smith is on a crazy good trajectory mm-hmm. where he can match up with, you know, mm-hmm. Chet. And then I think the only issue would be is that they'd have to contain Shea and mm-hmm. make sure he doesn't absolutely obliterate them, which mm-hmm. has happened to them too many times in the past. But I think they're a threat. I think things with them just got to go right.
Right.
I think if they stay healthy, Udoka keeps pushing the right buttons. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be good to make a run. And like I said, the West is so wide open. Mm-hmm. I think I wouldn't be surprised by a lot of those teams being there. And I think absolutely. The Rockets being one of them. And I think we'll disagree. Yes. But that's problem. Something like you said. We kind of have to see later in the season how that goes. Mm-hmm. But the team that I think is the biggest threat mm-hmm. in the West is the Grizzlies.
Okay.
And I think absolute threat.
The biggest threat. So that's why. So even in looking at these, right, I have to cancel out the threat or doom, because I'm going to ultimately end up who would be like, I would think would be like the finals pick of these guys.
So you're just picking one and the rest are
so at the end, you know what I'm saying? I ended up, my only threats are the Celtics and Thunder out of these.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So where do you think the Grizzlies go wrong? Running into the Thunder and that's it? Or
running into the Thunder? Yeah, for sure, man. So listen, bro.
And that's the thing. I'll say it right now. I think if the Grizzlies and the Thunder match up, mm-hmm. I think the Grizzlies win.
Okay.
Listen, they have a smart Marcus Smart mm-hmm. that can go out there and be in front of SGA comfortably.
Without a question.
And they can hide John Morant, because I think SGA would do some real ungodly things to John Morant.
Cook him.
But that's the thing. I don't think there's anybody on that Thunder team that could guard both Ja and Desmond Bane. Because mm-hmm. remember, you're going to have to throw SGA on one of them. Mm-hmm. Someone else is going to have to go out, whether that's Caruso, mm-hmm. whoever. And then I think Jaren Jackson would absolutely rip that Thunder team apart. I think the Grizzlies would win in seven. I think they are the most threatening team in the West. One, because they've been together for a while. Mm-hmm. Two, they've overcome so much adversity as mm-hmm. it is. Three, they still have young players. And four, they have, in my eyes, the biggest depth in the entire league. Mm-hmm. So we'll see where that gets them.
Yeah, but you didn't put like Dallas or Denver or, you know what I mean?
I don't, yeah, so you know I think those other I think West Denver, teams. Denver set up for doom. Mm-hmm. I think they need to change it up over there. I think you said Dallas. Mm-hmm. I think the move to get Clay was terrible. Mm-hmm. I think they should have opted into getting defense, because mm-hmm. you've already seen it a couple games this year. They've needed mm-hmm. that defense down the stretch. Mm-hmm. Haven't had it. And then I don't know who else is there. I mean, the Lakers, I still think they're the only other threat that I would say is a threat.
Okay.
I do like the Lakers still. I know they're...
Because Houston is in the West, right? So I'm just going to throw a quick question out before we move.
Yeah.
Threat or doom, then, since we have these, right?
Yeah.
Sacramento.
Oh, doom.
Okay.
They're 8-11 right now. Mm-hmm. They're not even in the play-in. Mm-hmm. Actually, if it wasn't for the Rockets, mm-hmm. Is what I thought would happen, it'd be the Kings. I thought that they wouldn't even make a play-in this year.
Okay.
They didn't do much. I mean, DeMar DeRozan is mm-hmm. an okay move. I just think it was the wrong one. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I think Sabonis, he only gets you so far. Mm-hmm. Fox only gets you so far. Mm-hmm. And then throwing in DeRozan, you're kind of hurting Murray. Mm-hmm. And Murray needs to be that guy that lights mm-hmm. the fire switch for this team. It's mm-hmm. it's just not happening.
Yeah, man. So, you know. Happy to have you over, man. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, I just need John Morant to get a quick bucket.
And then it's crazy, though, man. Yeah, man. He's disappointing, too.
John Morant?
Yeah.
What you mean, how?
Well, I mean, you know, you were just saying something about Anthony Edwards' leadership. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, but I think, you know, John Morant, I think this year he's playing more of like a role.
He's trying to.
Like, I think, like, he's still shooting 46%. I mean, he's only doing 21 points, but he got 9 assists. I think he's doing what he needs to do, because I don't think, as he knows, he's the only one that knows his body. I think mm-hmm. if he continues being a maniac on the court, mm-hmm. it's cool to see. It's good highlights, but then it's Derrick Rose all over again.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. Like, just the way that he plays. So I like that he's passing the ball more. Mm-hmm. He got people on the team that he can trust.
Yes.
And it's working for him. Because they're, what, 4 seed right now?
Yes, they are.
And I was surprised when people had the Grizzlies out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you remember what this team did fully healthy.
Yeah.
Jaren Jackson's still a dog.
Yep.
Desmond Bane is still
without
a dog.
Without a question.
Dylan Brooks is not there, mm-hmm. attracting negative energy.
Exactly.
I love Dylan Brooks. I love what they're doing over there in Houston. But mm-hmm. for this team specifically, I think they needed not to have.
They already have Jaren Jackson with that. Yeah. You know what I mean? He got the turn up energy. They don't need two or three of that. You know what I mean?
But yeah. All right. So Juan Soto. Nice little pivot back to some baseball.
Yeah.
You're the Yankees fan. I want you to spit for a little bit. Juan Soto, what is the opinion?
I'm actually going to keep it real light, man. We love him. We want him to stay.
Yes.
We love you. We want you to stay. It's amazing. Like, literally, though, bro. It's been a while since there's been, like, somebody within the lineup with personality. You understand what I'm saying? Like, that. And then here's the other thing, man. He can get any hit.
Right.
Okay? I love that he can get any hit. He's one of those people, man, that, again, man, the Yankees, we need chips. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need chips, man. We got to go all in, man. And when it comes, let's just keep him. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Let's just keep him, man.
Honestly.
Like, the season that he had, what do you think he's going to do? Do you think he wants to stay? Like, I think that the run that we had towards the end is a little bit disappointing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When thinking about the
but it wasn't his fault.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
So, you know.
If I'm the Yankees, you got to go to his house, knock on his door.
Old school shit.
No, not even knock on his door.
Yeah.
You drive through his door
mm-hmm.
with a Brinks truck.
Mm-hmm.
And as you break through the door, Mad Money needs to fall out the truck.
Yeah.
And you need to say, all right, how much of this money do you want? Sign this dotted line. Come. And I'm honestly shocked that mm-hmm. to this point, and I guess Scott Boras is his agent. We all know nobody likes Scott Boras because mm-hmm. Of how stingy he is. But Juan Soto, you also got to consider everything that he comes from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't come from
right.
a wealthy family.
Right.
He was, when he was in the minor leagues of the Nationals, he's sleeping mm-hmm. on a fucking broken mm-hmm. blow-up mattress.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to come, and he deserves every cent of what mm-hmm. he's going to get because he is a generational baseball mm-hmm. player, and he wins you games.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big driving force for the Nationals' very first mm-hmm. World Series title.
Yes.
He was a driving force of getting the Padres past the Dodgers for the first time,
mm-hmm.
almost into the World
yes.
Series. And then this year,
if it wasn't for
the Yankees
being all hurt up.
Yeah, and the Yankees haven't made the World Series in how long?
Yeah.
You make one change. That's the only change they made.
That's
Juan Soto.
I mean, there.
they got Jazz Chisholm. But, like, this was the first time.
Verdugo.
This was like, yeah, exactly. It wasn't fucking Verdugo.
Yeah,
it was Juan Soto.
Yeah.
I think the Yankees lose him. It's going to suck because you're waiting around because Gleyber Torres is a free agent. So you're waiting around hoping that Juan Soto comes and then you could fill out the team with whatever money you have. But if he don't come back and you wasted all that time, this is going to put the Yankees in a terrible spot.
My anxiety is high about that. That's why I don't have a real big take on that, bro, because it's high around that, man. Like, he needs to be secured, and I think everything else will kind of
fall into place.
Yes, bro.
Because no matter what, if you got Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, as you saw last year, it's ridiculous, bro. It's ridiculous.
Come on, man.
So I just think, like I said, what I like, I just mm-hmm. hope he doesn't go to the Mets.
Yeah.
Y'all know how big of a Juan Soto fan I am and how
yes.
big of a Mets fan that I am not.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think I'll be sick to my stomach. I will steal food stamps from baby mamas. I'll become a villain if Juan Soto goes to the Mets because I just won't know what to do at that point because I'm going to have to get the jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I got his other, you know, couple jerseys, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, with that being said,
yeah.
I think the Yankees need to
we
do
need to,
everything.
Yes.
And I'm surprised it's not done yet.
It's
I'd be
crazy.
Like, bro, what do you want? Here you go. And that's it.
Obviously, the numbers aren't right.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're not, because Juan Soto loves New York.
Yeah.
I don't think he cares whether he's in a Yankees hat or a Mets hat. He loves New York.
And New York loves him.
Exactly.
Like, it's crazy. New York loves him.
Like, I hate myself for not going to a Yankees game this year because that atmosphere must have been insane.
Like, it's live.
Yeah.
Like, you're just going to go to where he, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
New York loves him. It's kind of crazy before
Absolutely.
The game, during, you know what I mean, and stuff like that, so.
Pivoting back to some football,
yes,
as we start closing this episode up,
yes.
good episode.
Yes.
I think this is a good episode to get us back
uh-huh.
moving and
yes,
grooving.
Mm-hmm.
For NFL, what are you most surprised at?
Uh-huh.
What's exactly what you thought would happen?
Uh-huh.
What are you most disappointed by? I'll start. I'll kick this one on.
Go.
You kicked off the last
yes.
one.
Uh-huh.
What am I most surprised at? Mm-hmm. It's the Chiefs.
Okay.
And I'm not surprised that they're 11-1.
Okay.
Actually, I am surprised they're 11-1. I'm surprised that they're playing as bad as they are and winning the games that they are. And I get, you could say the refs, you can get whatever. I think mostly it's that they just do what they need to do to win every single week.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just surprised at how bad it's been, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would think that they would be 11-1, but also that it would be because, you know, Patrick Mahomes is just moving so easily. Everything is just coming so easy, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they want to plant doubt on purpose so that when the playoffs come, they just kick the door in and beat everybody's ass like they always do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just surprised at how shitty it is.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like right now in the NFL, there's not one team that you can say is significantly above the pack.
Right.
Maybe you can say the Lions.
Right.
Maybe you can say the Chiefs, but I wouldn't agree.
Right.
I wouldn't agree. I think the NFL being so wide open because the Chiefs are so ass.
So I really love that take. Yeah. Well, go ahead, though.
That's it.
Yeah, I love that
take. I just think that because they're so ass, but they're so 11-1 at the same time, it's just a surprise.
Yeah.
Because I thought they'd come in back-to-back championships. Mm-hmm. They're hunting for the glorious three-peat that, you know, when every team gets to two, that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's fuck the second one. We want that third one.
Yeah.
And I thought they'd be a little bit hungrier. But maybe they're just cruising and they're gonna be ready. That's what I'm scared of.
Okay.
They cruise yes. now, they dominate later.
Yes.
But what I exactly thought would happen, the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
Did I have them in the playoffs? Yes, but it was barely making it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have too much issues in their locker room. Obviously, Jamar Chase wants more money. Obviously, T. Higgins wants his money. Joe Burrow still, you can still say that they don't have the best offensive line around him.
Mm-hmm.
Defense is too wishy-washy for me.
Yes.
I think there's just too much going on, and I knew they unfortunately wouldn't make noise. And it sucks because Joe Burrow is playing some fantastic football. Him and Jamar Chase have been some of the best 1-2 of all time.
Yes.
That's kind of what they've been doing. They're going for it. Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, no, them Saints, they kind of burnt out.
Yeah.
And then the most disappointed by, I'd say, the Browns.
Yeah, okay.
I think last year they proved that they can win with or without Deshaun Watson. And then this year it almost looks like their head coach should be fired.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a two-time coach of the year.
Yeah, it's weird.
You know, it's kind of like it's night and day. Like last year it looked so beautiful. This year it looks so nasty.
Yeah.
Like it's almost trading Myles Garrett. That's how nasty it was. So.
And literally it being talked about.
And that's what I got. I mean, it's another shitty situation for Cleveland because you think you figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just wasted opportunities last year. That's what it's looking like.
Yeah, that's not bad at all, man. I actually love those takes, man. Real quick, just to kind of run through mine, I'd say who I am most impressed with or most surprised by, I'm going to say is going to be Buffalo. All right.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, I love how Josh Allen is playing with.
They got rid of people, and he's still.
Yo, it's kind of dope. And he's.
I'll give Josh Allen his.
Yeah, and he's elevated the people around him. You know what I mean? To be where they are. To kind of go with what you said about it's still anybody's league. The only thing that's kind of crazy to me is some of what you said is kind of funny because I love it. Thinking about them getting it done every week, the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's the thing.
They do just enough to get by.
Listen, that's not paying shitty, though. That's actually being better than,
I mean,
better prepared,
better,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
execute better, you're better prepared for those singular moments.
You think something's wrong with Patrick Mahomes, or?
I don't think that something's wrong with him. I actually think that there's just something wrong with their system. Like, it's actually, well, not with their system, it's with their players. Like, you know what I mean? The reliability of Taylor Swift's new boyfriend. It's like, no, my fault, Travis. I'm only fucking with you, buddy. but no, with Travis Kelce, he's getting a little bit older. You understand what I'm saying?
A little bit older and a little distracted.
Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? He's really, really huge right now. DeAndre Hopkins has come in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But losing Rashid Rice, losing, you know what I mean?
Worthy. Yeah.
In and out, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Hollywood Brown never coming back. They are never.
He's apparently coming back soon.
Yeah, supposedly. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? I just think that you are getting the best football player that there is today.
I agree.
You understand
Eagles,
what I'm saying?
Eagles need to convert here.
You know what I mean? In Patrick Mahomes, that is allowing him to beat everybody every
week.
I think it is. But, okay, so now that is my most surprise is going to be
beautiful Buffalo. Throw. Yeah. Beautiful throw, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, it's about time. Yeah, yes. These past couple weeks, I still, okay. All right, bet. So now who I'm most disappointed in is going to be the Jets. We already know this. Come on, man. You know what I mean? We don't have to do that at all. All right? And
they stink, man.
Yeah, man, they stink, man. And who I'm not surprised at, who I knew was going to be doing what they're doing, of course, we're going to just say Lamar and Buffalo. I mean, and Baltimore.
Okay.
Man. Yeah, man, like I kind of on par for the course. It's the second year.
Saquon is just...
He's amazing for what he's doing. Hold on, man. We're in that game.
Yeah, the Eagles, they need to get a touchdown here.
Yeah, this is crazy.
This is a good game right now. But yeah. No, that's all some fair stuff.
Yeah.
So threat or doom real quick. So Chiefs, obviously, I think they're a threat.
Yep.
I think mostly what it is that I think they're just on cruise control.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with some of these teams, it sucks because you eventually end up so good and so threatening that you don't have to do everything that you normally do to win these games. I think teams just end up beating themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it's been this year. There's a lot of teams beating themselves. You could say refs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I also think, you know, as a team, you need to put yourself in a position where it doesn't come down to the refs.
Exactly.
So the Chiefs, I think... they're just chilling right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unfortunate because Patrick Mahomes, you know, I think he could be having a lot better of a year, but neither here or there.
So. No, look, because they're winning. You know what I mean? Because they're winning. Yeah. So it's hard to kind of.
And I assume you agree. Threat. Yes,
absolutely. Yeah. Right. Without a doubt.
So Lions.
I'm going to say threat.
Okay.
Without a question.
Yeah.
Without a question.
Yeah. And I agree. Ooh. Yo, Saquon's ridiculous.
Yeah,
oh my God, Saquon Barkley. Oh my God,
this is his year for the MVP without a question.
And that's what when people like mm-hmm. underrated the move of him to the Eagles, like they have one of the best offensive lines in the league.
Mm-hmm.
That's all Saquon has needed
mm-hmm.
his whole entire career.
So, bro, that's the other part that I didn't really get to say that I'm just gonna say right now. Besides what you are seeing him do, man, like, listen, we both played on teams. We both played sports.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, at high levels,
right.
Low, high level, whatever you want to put it. Not professional, right?
Yeah.
What I will say is that, come on, man. That dysfunction that happened with the Eagles last year, with a player like Saquon on the team, that would not have happened, and they probably would have went to a Super Bowl again. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Okay, so I'll jump out and say this now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's because I'm watching the Eagles beat the Ravens now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get... We'll talk about the Eagles right now since we're here.
Yeah.
Eagles threat.
Yes.
And I think they're going to... I don't want to say all the way, but I think they're getting to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're threat.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
There's no question.
I think the only thing that stops them now is a defensive breakdown because they have so many young guys
mm-hmm.
on that defensive side. Mm-hmm. Like... Quinyon Mitchell, Carter,
Gene.
Yeah, they're all young, but they're all really good.
Yeah.
I think it'll depend on if they can keep it together and not have, you know, young mistakes.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think the Eagles are solid. It's like what you said. I don't think they're going to have this breakdown with Saquon there.
No, it's great.
I think Jalen Hurts has developed more as a leader. Mm-hmm. You see it every week now.
Yes, man.
AJ Brown isn't so dramatic now that he's gotten paid.
Yeah.
I think they made all the right moves. Mm-hmm. But back to the Lions, I mm-hmm. think they're a threat as well. I think it's going to be the Lions or the Eagles.
Yeah.
Okay. Representing in the Super Bowl. The Lions, they're too well put together.
Yeah.
You know, because they've suffered, you know, Hutchinson went down for the year
mm-hmm.
and I think they're still moving because they have such a solid team built.
Yes.
I would just like, I think their biggest downfall would be their head coach as good as he is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you saw last year.
Yeah.
He was one right call away from getting to the Super Bowl.
So that's the only thing. So in all honesty, real quick, just to piggyback off you said before we move on, that's the only thing that scares me is that he still lives dangerously with these trick plays and these high-level
And I think sometimes you trust your team where you don't have to live. I mean, obviously, make a dangerous move towards the end of the game.
Yes.
But when, for example, last year, the 49ers, they had them in the first half.
Yes.
And then you come out in the second half mm-hmm. and you go for it mm-hmm. instead of just kicking a field goal.
Yeah.
You give them that momentum. You give them that sense of, oh, shit, we got a chance. And what happened? So 49ers came back.
We totally agree.
Absolutely. I think he just needs to chill a little bit, unless it's necessary. Mm-hmm. But if it's not necessary, man, don't.
Because the, you know what they I'm saying? Listen, that play action.
Take your safe. Going, if they just take their safe three and walk away, they're good.
Word is bone. And their play action is way better than most schemes. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying?
And like, Gibbs, just he's just that much nastier this year.
It's crazy.
You got not one, but two running backs.
Crazy,
doing their thing. Good offensive line. Good quarterback. Just good receivers.
Just beat them up.
Their defense is good. Bills, I think they're doomed. I think Josh Allen's not good under the brightest of lights. Has he had a couple good games? Yes. But I just think when it ultimately comes down to it, I don't trust Josh Allen with nobody on that team. I think it's coming soon. I think they're going to collapse. Do I think they'll collapse themselves all the way out the playoffs? No, because that division's really bad. But I don't think the Bills are going to make any noise. And whatever, call me a hater, call me what you want. I just don't see it.
Right. Okay. I'm going to go doomed on that, too.
Okay.
Yeah, we're fine. Okay. I don't even have
to. Okay, cool.
Because we're not even in that place yet. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But, yes, doomed and for how I've been going already.
Most interesting team here, the Minnesota Vikings.
Right. I am going to say doomed.
Okay.
Yes, I'm going to say doomed.
And I'll agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, they got Sam Darnold and now Daniel Jones. If they have to depend on even one snap from Daniel Jones, I think the moment Daniel Jones touches the field as a starting quarterback, I think it's done.
Wow. Yeah. It just shouldn't happen.
Unless like Justin Jefferson really carries that load there. I think Sam Darnold has shown you that he can be good and get the team into a playoff spot. Do I think Sam Darnold is going to be good under the bright lights? No. I think maybe if they run into some teams that are going to beat themselves, like maybe if they run into the Packers, they run into one of these, you know, NFC South teams. Maybe they can beat a couple teams. I think once they run into the Lions, they run into the Eagles, they run into another, you know, team that's really good. I think it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
NBA redraft.
Yes.
And no, it's not an old joke that I'm doing this to Kev. But yes, we are going to do a 1995 NBA redraft. So Kev, why don't you kick us off with the number one pick in the 1995 NBA draft. The Golden State Warriors select who?
Rasheed Wallace.
Whoa.
Rasheed Wallace.
Not Kevin Garnett?
Not Kevin Garnett. Wow. We are taking Rasheed Wallace with the first pick.
Yep. All right. You got to give some why.
All right, so the why behind this.
need some why.
So we're going to give you some why behind this. So, and of course, they're both the same position at power forward. At this particular point in time, I believe that Kevin Garnett had 2,500 points or so in high school in his 4 years and over 10,000 rebounds.
Okay.
But check this out. In Rasheed Wallace's career, with somebody else who is going to be selected in this draft, all right, in the top five, he averaged 13 points and 7 rebounds and 2 blocks, okay? He was used to playing with the big boys, and he is known as a stretch big. What a lot of people don't know, or what a lot of the young ones who may not have seen Rasheed Wallace play, but he's one of the big men who were able to stretch the floor and play that three game that everybody
so you think
so
instead of going to Washington his first year, he actually thrives in Golden State?
Yes.
And Golden State makes a good move to take them?
Yes.
That was almost an interception. Ooh-wee. Yeah, Eagles got this one. Yes. Eagles won this one, boys. All right. Okay, so the Wizards they take or the Warriors they take Rasheed Wallace. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Number two, the Clippers.
The Clippers, we're gonna take his mate, Jerry Stackhouse.
Oh, Kevin Garnett's falling?
Yes.
He's slipping?
Kevin Garnett's falling. Don't worry. It's okay.
So the Clippers they get who was it again?
Jerry Stackhouse,
okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's a pick earlier. Yeah. You got to defend
Now, listen, I want to be honest with you. Jerry Stackhouse, man, listen, man, everybody loves wings now, and I'm not just talking to the 2K guys. I'm talking about to the NBA guys, too. Everybody loves the wing, right, that can do his thing. Listen, check out Jerry Stackhouse.
He was good as soon as he got in.
All right. Now, he was leaving from college averaging about 19 and 8, you know what I mean? Yes. Double-double from the door, you know what I mean? But listen, he goes to a place like the Clippers at that particular point in time. He would have been totally highlighted in a different way than he was in Detroit, if you ask me. All right? Now, if we go to the third pick in this NBA draft, that is
76ers.
The young boy Kevin Garnett does go.
Okay.
Number three. He is built for a city like Philadelphia or Boston, where he ended up winning his championship at. Okay.
Yeah. I think he would have been highlighted more.
Absolutely.
Maybe there's still, but so the thing with that is do you think they're still bad enough to get Allen Iverson the next year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's why, because he's a high schooler.
So imagine KG and
that's
AI.
Why. Go ahead. All right, now you're in my brain. Okay. So that's the only one that I'm actually building on, because he was the number, you know what I mean? Everybody, well, Joe Smith was the number one pick that year.
Right.
Okay. But and he was really good. Like it's no question about it.
Yeah.
But
some unfortunate, three, you know, things down the road.
Exactly.
But yeah.
Exactly. So if I went
Kevin Garnett and he's Philly.
Gonna, yes. All right. The fourth pick I'm
because they were dog shit.
Yes, they were horrible. But for that, what he would have been with exactly what you said, AI is what I'm planning for with the future, with him being a high schooler. Rarely in the NBA back in there did they give high schoolers a chance unless they were 7 foot and 200
pounds.
All right. So now
we got the Washington Wizards or the Washington Bullets at the time.
Yes, exactly. Now listen, man. Fun fact. Hopefully you did some history, man. I'm going number four. I'm going with Antonio McDice. You know what I'm saying? I'm going with McDice. Yeah. All right. At that number four pick with the Bullets would have fit very well. Now he's one of those guys. He played from an SEC school.
Yeah, he was
Alabama.
He was drafted by the Clippers second,
and then he went
and
to
then
Denver.
He was traded to Denver for Brent Berry,
where he played his ass off. Okay, and Brent Berry actually won a couple of he won a dunk contest in Washington while he was out there making the playoffs. With
him. That was the dog years of the dunk contest.
Now, last but not least, Minnesota. We're gonna take the number one pick.
Joe Smith. Okay, so it's kind of like the same five guys.
Yes, I'm going with the same five guys. I'm just it wasn't nothing better than those five guys, bro.
Even Damon Stoudemire. I know.
No, I like Mighty Mouse and love him. You understand what I'm saying? But he was not better than any of these guys. I'm also in peak physical form at this time, bro.
So the only thing I'm going to disagree with you on,
go ahead. No problem,
is I think Michael Finley.
Not
did
a bad
did
pick.
Enough to get into that top five.
Not a bad pick. He developed into being a very good player.
And I think what we know now, I think he definitely benefits from going to either Washington or Minnesota. If I was to redo this, I think I'd have Kevin Garnett first to the Warriors, Finley second to the Clippers, Stackhouse stays you know, third to the Sixers, Rasheed Wallace stays fourth to the Bullets. And then I probably have Damon Stoudemire sneaking, you know, into the top five.
Okay.
But that's only just knowing what we know. I think, you know, you're using a kind of, you know, let's redo this a little bit, but still, you know, take their talents that they came that they came in with. But I can't, only thing I can't respect is leaving off my guy, Michael Finley.
Okay.
Ain't who I love playing with in 2K.
All right. Okay. No problem at all.
I do. I think Michael Finley... if things happen just a little bit differently, I think he gets all of his flowers.
Okay.
All
right.
And that's all I got there.
Okay. No problem.
All right, but that's good. We'll see what you guys think.
Yes.
Hopefully they don't rip you apart for not putting Kevin Garnett first.
Hopefully, y'all. Listen, man. This was about styles. You know what I mean? Styles make fights. You know what I mean? Styles make teams. You know what I mean? I was thinking that way.
All right, so we're just about done here.
Uh-huh.
So why don't you shout out a random player from the past?
That's fire. This one's
anybody,
for you, champ.
Anybody that you want.
Yeah, this one is for you, champ. It's kind of crazy. It's really funny. And it's wild, bro, because we're watching Philadelphia and Baltimore right now. So listen, this is my shout-out. Listen, my shout-out random player is going to be Randall Cunningham, former quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles from 1985 to 1995.
Okay,
what was really dope about Randall Cunningham, as we are watching Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson, is he still holds the Eagles record for rushing attempts at 6.62 per attempt as a quarterback. Yeah. So this is the first like dual threat quarterback. When he retired as a Philadelphia Eagle,
so
he was
underrated.
Yes, bro. He was third in rushing, you know what I mean, at the time on their squad. Do you understand what I'm saying? The dude did everything. A fun fact, he also punted, bro. Like there was a time when he had to punt. You understand? Like listen, man, as a kid, he was one of those guys that you had to run in front of the TV to watch because Warren Moon was in the league too, but he was nowhere near yes. as lightning or, yes. you know what I mean, had the playmaking ability of him. But yes, man, that's what I about to say. Listen, he also was second to yes. Ron Jaworski in Philadelphia yes. Eagle history for passing yards yep. with like 22,000.
Yeah.
Listen, bro, I came ready for this one. That's my boy. All right, now listen. All right, that's who I wanted to shout out yes. for today.
And the guy that I wanted to shout out today, no, I'm not going to pick Manny Ramirez. I know I told you I was going to pick Manny Ramirez. Uh-huh. I'm going with DeMarcus Cousins.
Fire!
So okay. listen, I think that DeMarcus Cousins, there needs to be, and maybe we can have our own mm-hmm. little what-if segment. Uh-huh. I think he's one of the biggest what-ifs
okay.
in NBA history.
Okay.
And on one side of it, you have the injuries, mm-hmm. right? On another side of it, it's just his pure talent.
Yeah, he was highly
like,
skilled.
As a big man, being able to go, you know, skilled. East to West Coast with the mm-hmm. ball, you know, bring the ball down court, yeah. getting it all the way into mm-hmm. the hoop,
mm-hmm.
his shooting ability, his defense was still pretty, mm-hmm. you know, decent.
Yes.
I think there's two things here.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not injured
mm-hmm.
after going to the Pelicans,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a what-if on its own because that yes. Pelicans team was nasty. Matt and I always talk about it, how mm-hmm. disgusting that team actually was. Mm-hmm. But then also, what if he wasn't drafted to the Kings?
Mm-hmm.
What if he had better someone with a better mindset
yep.
around him
yeah.
and got him off on that right foot? What if he was on a little bit more of a talented team than the Kings?
Yeah.
Because I truly think, dang, Saquon is just ridiculous.
Yes, man.
That's the game. I truly think that DeMarcus Cousins should be a bigger yeah. what-if than what people...
Yo, man, you make me happy with that, man. Like, that's a new school legend. You yes. understand what I'm saying? So it's kind of funny that I want the viewers and the listeners to actually look up these two guys, Rasheed yeah. Wallace and DeMarcus Cousins.
Because DeMarcus Cousins is going to get forgotten
gangs,
about soon.
Yes, their games yeah. favor each other so much, yes. too. It's so dope. Like, yeah. low-key. You understand yeah. what I'm saying? So to actually watch these two guys... be able to put their backs to the basket, also step out, and if you let them leak on you, they're going to slip,
yes.
you know what I mean, and bang on you, being as big, low. That's a, I love that, bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. All right.
Great. All right, and you know what, that's another episode of the Different Conversation, the Built Different Show. You know, we're going to keep coming at you. You know, me and Ken will probably be doing this every other week. You know, we'll figure it out. We know you guys like when we're together. The beard, the...
Oh, man, and it got bigger.
Yeah, man, his beard is about as white as I am.
Bigger, bro.
But yeah, with that being said, you know, make sure you guys like, subscribe, you know, share.
Make sure.
Leave some feedback. Go to the website below where you can see all the other episodes. You can see all the other content. You can, you know, email us if you have some feedback. Or even if maybe you would want to be on the show or you have an idea that you want to see, you can contact us through there. But we're firing on all cylinders. We're going to keep moving. We just hope you guys are here with us. Shout out to all the viewers in Singapore. I guess that's, you know, that's random.
Yes.
But we have this decent following in Singapore. Okay. So shout out to you guys.
Yes.
And have a good day or night wherever you are.